Welcome to DriveCast. My name is Corey DeCaro, and I serve as a teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. Wherever and however you're listening, happy Friday to you. Last week, we celebrated Easter, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And although Easter is a holiday recognized by many and not everyone's calendar, it's still one of the most intriguing, contested, and important events in human history. Because the historical fact of the resurrection is the very foundation for the Christian faith, that Jesus' claims stand and fall on the resurrection, that Christianity itself stands and falls on the resurrection, and that we cannot have faith in Jesus if we don't believe he's alive today, and that belief in the truth of Christianity is faith in the resurrection of Jesus. So if the resurrection is not true, well, it's just some story we can ignore. However, if Jesus is risen from the dead, that changes everything. That if Jesus is alive right now, that changes everything. That if the resurrection is true, one's response to it is literally a matter of life and death. And if the resurrection is true, then it's the greatest event in human history. So when it comes to Easter, we said the resurrection of Jesus demands a response. That the resurrection of Jesus demands a response. And really, there's only one of two responses we can give, one of belief or one of disbelief. So we looked at Matthew's account of the resurrection and examined these two responses. We see the response of disbelief in the soldiers who were guarding the tomb. In Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 2, it says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." Later on in verse 11, it says, "These same guards went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'Tell the people that his disciples came by night and stole him away while they were asleep. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" It says, "So they took the money and did as they were directed." It's important to see here that the guards saw the angel. They saw the empty tomb. No one had gotten in or out. They experienced the earthquake. They saw the stone rolled away. Yet they denied the truth. They refused the evidence that was right in front of them. And they took the payoff to keep their mouths shut, and they covered up the evidence. Here's what I can't help but think about. How could they willfully close their eyes to this proof? How could they see what they saw and be quiet about it? How could they reject the truth? And how could they ignore the evidence? We see the harsh reality here that all of us can find reasons to disbelieve what we want to disbelieve. That when we deny things, we can deny what we want to deny. That we can close ourselves off to evidence when we want to. That despite the overwhelming evidence of Jesus' resurrection, the soldiers chose disbelief. But on the flip side, we read in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 28 that it was after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Verse 5 says, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified.'" And in verse 8 it says, "So they," the women, "departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples." Different than the soldiers, the women responded in belief. The earthquake, the angel, the stone rolled away, the empty tomb, instead of rejection and disbelief, it was belief. It was belief that led to fear or awe or an overwhelming feeling of reverence and deep respect or admiration. It was belief that led to great joy and out of the ordinary happiness and pleasure or worship. And so what we see here is that if the resurrection is true, it means Jesus is who he said he is, that he accomplished what he said he would accomplish, that he's trustworthy, and that if the resurrection is true, it leads to awe. Awe because Jesus is truly God in the flesh, creator of all, holding all things together, victorious over sin, awe because he's got victory over death and evil. It leads to awe because Jesus took on the form of man, like it says in Philippians 2, and entered into our world and our shame and our pain and suffered our payment and our death and our hell. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." I mean, this means Jesus gets you. He understands you. He gets me. He understands me. He sympathizes and empathizes and knows and cares what each one of us are going through because he's walked in our shoes. How amazing is that? That belief in the resurrection leads to awe, but it also leads to great joy. The resurrection's reliability and trustworthiness and truth leads to great joy because it means God really does love us, that Jesus really does love us, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, that heaven awaits, that this world is not the end, nor is it our ultimate home, that the resurrection leads to great joy and worship because death is not the end. Pain, suffering, sickness, and trials are just temporary. It means Jesus truly does work all things together for good. It means there will be a day that Jesus will rule and reign again, that he will wipe away every tear, that there'll be no crying, no more pain, no sorrow, no sin, no death. That as it says in Revelation 21, that we can take it to the bank, that the junk of this world will pass away, and behold, he will make all things new. So as we reflect on Easter, as we look at our response to Jesus and the resurrection, it's either belief or disbelief. It's acceptance or rejection. It's awe and great joy or denial. There is no middle ground. So the thing each of us must wrestle with is, where do you stand today? What's your response to Jesus? What's your response to the resurrection? That Jesus elicits a response from each one of us, and the resurrection demands a response from all. If it's belief, go and share with someone else. If it's disbelief, open yourself to the evidence, the reliability, the credibility, the truth of the resurrection, and turn to Jesus today. Let me pray for us, and then maybe take some time to personally reflect on what the resurrection of Jesus means for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the power and the truth of the resurrection. How amazing that Jesus is alive today. For those who believe, may we not keep silent about who Jesus is and what he's done. May we share, may we go, and may we tell others about him. If we're struggling with belief today, may we turn to Jesus. May we turn our hearts and our minds and our eyes to the evidence of his great sacrifice for us on the cross, that he took our place to pay for our sin, but that he's alive today, that he's risen from the grave, displaying victory over sin and death and evil. And so if you're doubting today, call out to Jesus for forgiveness of your sin, believe in him, and ask Jesus to come into your life today and experience awe and great joy from this day forward. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.